Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Text for our meditation this morning is Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation 2:10, which reads as follows. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the angel is about to throw some of you into prison, that you may be tested. And for 10 days you will have tribulation. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Based on that, our theme is faithful to the end. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, in just a few generations, we have seen the world change at a mind-boggling pace. We live in a completely different world than the one in which most of us were born and raised. You young people are living in a completely different culture than we had 50 years ago. We should not be overly surprised for a couple of reasons. First, it has happened before. David's kingdom, after Solomon, was divided into the northern and the southern kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And over a period of only a few hundred years, they turned from the one true God to false gods and immorality, primarily. Many who still claim to follow the God of Abraham engaged in worship that was not from the heart, ritual worship. Secondly, Jesus himself prophesied that as the end of time approached, people would once again turn away from God, even against him, and devote themselves to works of evil, believers would be persecuted. Hence our text, you will be delivered up to tribulation and some killed. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Many will fall away and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. All of this is happening before our very eyes. Christians are being persecuted both here and abroad, in the Middle East and Africa in particular. They have been rounded up and tortured or killed. Here at home, we see the general public changing from passive concerning Christianity to actively anti-Christian. Our legalistic society is more and more finding ways to set aside or render unlawful the Christian way of life and punish those who live it. To illustrate the rapid change and many of the ways it affects our lives, and especially the lives of our young people and children, I'm going to use the mid-50s as a reference point in a number of situations I'm going to give to you. The 50s were a time in our country when things were pretty good. People were happy. President Eisenhower was president. There was an armistice which had followed the active fighting which brought the Korean War to an end. The economy was growing, and Wednesday evening was still church night in America. Family life was not affected by technology. Crime was not rampant, and our streets weren't blocked by protesters. Today, by comparison, Christ-centered love and God-given common sense have given way to a mindset devoid of spirituality, disrespect of authority, and bearing all the marks of paganism. I'm going to give you a variety of situations, and not all of these directly involve religion at all, but they still demonstrate the scope and the nature of change. Situation number one. Bill had been duck hunting before school and then pulls into the school parking lot with his shotgun still in the gun rack in the pickup. 1955, here's what happened. The football coach comes over to Bill's pickup, looks at Bill's shotgun, then goes to his car, gets his own shotgun, and they talk about them, and then they compare their guns. 2018. The school goes into lockdown. The FBI is called. Bill is hauled off to jail and never sees his pickup or his gun again. Counselors are called for the traumatized students and teachers. The coach is fired. Situation number two. Harold carelessly breaks a window in his neighbor's car. His dad gives him a good whipping. 1955, Harold is more careful next time. He grows up normal. He goes to college, and he becomes a successful businessman. 2018, Harold's dad is arrested for child abuse. Harold is removed from his home and placed in foster care. The state psychologist is told by Harold's sister that she remembers being spanked also, and their dad goes to prison. Harold's mom has an affair with the psychologist. Situation three. Jerry's been getting headaches. He's a student, so he takes some aspirin along to school. 1955, between classes, the principal happened to mention that he had a headache too. So Jerry shares his aspirin with him. 2018, the police are called and Jerry is suspended from school for drug violation. His car is also searched for drugs and weapons. Jerry is placed on a police watch list for possible drug distribution. Situation four. Pedro fails high school English, 1955. Pedro goes to summer school, passes English, and later is unable to enroll in college. Good. 2018. Pedro's cause is taken up by a radical minority rights group. Newspaper articles appear nationally suggesting that teaching English as a requirement for graduation is racist. The ACLU files a class action lawsuit against the state school system and Pedro's English teacher. The court rules that the state schools may no longer require that English be the only language taught. Situation five. Freddie gathers some leftover firecrackers from the 4th of July, puts them in a soda can, and blows up a red anthill. 1955, the ants die. 2018, the ATF, Homeland Security, and the FBI are called. Freddie is charged with domestic terrorism. The FBI investigates his parents, and all his siblings are removed from their home. All computers and cell phones are confiscated. Freddie's dad is placed on a terror watch list and is never allowed to own a gun or fly in an airplane again. Number six, Elaine falls while running during recess and scrapes her knee. She is found crying by her teacher, Mr. Hutchins. He hugs the girl in an attempt to comfort and console her. 55. In a short time, Elaine feels better and goes on playing. 2018. Mr. Hutchins is accused of being a sexual predator and loses his job. He is sentenced to 3 years in state prison and must now undergo 5 years of therapy. He is also required to register as a sex offender for life. And in two parishes ago, I had a man that was very similar situation. A farmer who one day found the sheriff on his doorstep because of something very similar. These are not far-fetched, folks, if you watch the news at all. I'm taking things out of the news. Seven, Central Elementary School observed Christmas by putting on a Christmas pageant. Most of the children are involved, some playing the roles of Joseph and Mary, angel shepherds and the wise men. Others sing in a choir, joyfully proclaiming the birth of the Savior in the beloved carols of Christmas. 1955, what happened? The entire community turns out to relive the story of the Christ child's birth. Christmas greetings are exchanged by everybody. 2018, the media makes haste to report this unacceptable, that's their favorite word, unacceptable disregard for separation of church and state. The Freedom From Religion Foundation intervenes and immediately files a lawsuit against the school district. Public outcry calls for the resignation of the principal and every teacher who took part in the pageant. Washington, D.C. threatens to withhold any federal funding from the state until everything related to Christian is removed from the school system. I was in one such play in the third grade. Situation 8. Adrian confides in his best friend, Kevin, that he thinks he is a homosexual, and he asks him not to tell anyone. 1955, Kevin is surprised and deeply troubled. He promises to keep this shameful secret to himself, and he also promises to pray for Adrian. 2018, Adrian openly and proudly admits that he is gay. His friends praise him for coming out and encourages him to originate a pride parade. The city cordons off Main Street for the parade, and all the TV channels are there to film and comment on the festivities. A major retail corporation recruits Adrian to be a supervisor who will promote adversity. I can name the corporation. This is real. The churches that speak out against this public display of shamelessness are accused of a, and I think you know the term, hate crime. Hate crime, and they are forbidden to demonstrate on the public street. Add to these the current thinking and trends concerning race relations, abortion, immigration, political corruption, the use of pot and other drugs, judgments by liberal courts, money supply and market abnormalities, and we've already had some, schools taking over the sex education of children and even handing out condoms, laxity toward crime, municipality defying federal law, we have a lot of that going on right here in Oregon, and much more. Most of these signs of the times are pointed in the same direction, away from God, away from God. We are in the time of tribulation. We don't want to be like the frog in the frying pan where the heat was turned up gradually and he didn't realize until he was fried. We need to know, to understand, to see with our own eyes that we are there. Now, today, it's happening. We agonize because right has become wrong and wrong has become right, literally. We are surrounded by voices and by powers that not only reject the gospel of Jesus Christ, but claim that the Holy Scriptures are not from God at all, but simply human writings filled with biases and error and certainly not in accord with science. Some claim the Bible is a source of division, the basis for discrimination and hatred, and is totally out of step with our modern times. The good news of the resurrection from the dead to an everlasting glory in heaven for believers in Christ Jesus is dismissed as folklore or myth, and in some cases, even in the church. Not lying. To many today, and I hurt on this one, I'm cut to the heart on this one because I have a son that falls in this category who is seminary educated. He believes, and many believe, many like him believe, there is no heaven or hell. That is the mindset of the secular mind. We are just animals. And like every other animal in the evolutionary chain, the grave is the end. Love for Jesus and a living faith in him, living a sacrificial life, worshiping and serving the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are considered meaningless, foolishness, unacceptable to the educated mind. Self comes first, not God. But God knows. He looks into every heart. He sees unbelief, and he sees love and faith. From the beginning of time and his work of creation, he has been merciful and gracious to all men, compassionate and forgiving. He has blessed the faithful, and he has allowed the impenitent to suffer the consequences of their sins. He has always prepared the hearts of the faithful for things to come, and he is doing that right now. When Jesus told John to write down the letters to the seven churches in Asia Minor, he knew then of the apostasy. Apostasy means falling away. The apostasy and persecution to come, both to them and to us in this 21st century. So he encourages us. He assures us that what is happening today is only for a short time. Do not fear what you are about to suffer, we read. The devil is about to throw some of you into prison that you may be tested for 10 days. That's not literal. Some church groups like to take these things literally, not so. This simply means for a short time. So for a short time, you will have tribulation. Then comes that comforting and reassuring promise. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Trust in me, Jesus is saying. No matter what is happening around you, trust in me. And continue trusting, even if your very life is being threatened. God gives the power of the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. So we are never without the help we need to deal with the godlessness around us. We do well to remember how Jesus comforted his disciples just before his death. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Every one of us who has placed our trust 100% in Jesus Christ, who gives all the glory to the Heavenly Father in word and deed, has no reason to worry, no cause to be afraid. Staying close to our Lord and Savior, remaining faithful to the end, we will be victorious. Evil was overcome already when the angel announced, "He is not here, he is risen." That was the turning point. Not only will God put an end to all evil, but to the devil and to every impenitent sinner, and especially the false prophet, and our church today is full of them. The Christian church, false prophets all over the place. No crown for them. Only an eternal and everlasting torment. Our hope, our faithfulness, our sacrifices will one day soon be rewarded as we are crowned with royal holiness and a never-ending peace. So we wait patiently. We pray. We continue to fight the good fight of faith, all the while waiting to hear the Master's voice, signaling the end to this God-forsaken domain and inviting us to enter indescribable glory. Come, O blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. The time is short. We can make it to the end with the Spirit's help. Just envision that crown of life and believe Jesus' promise. In His name, amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through a living faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.